You're listening to Inside Flicks, the podcast, and this week we're going to review The Farewell.
What's wrong, Dad?
Midnight is dying.
You can't say anything.
Isn't it wrong to lie?
Most families in China would not tell her.
Can you be a little more sensitive?
I'll slam you.
Believe that it was a good thing.
All right, we're back, and this week we're going to review The Farewell. The much buzzed about, I think it's a Sundance hit, right? It's a Sundance hit? Anyone know?
They bought it in Sundance, right?
I think it premiered in Sundance, right?
I don't know.
I'm your host, Mike, and I'm here with Richard and Raymond. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
The Farewell. This is a much buzzed about, critically acclaimed film that I think was a big hit in this year's Sundance. It definitely made a big splash in some of the film festivals that came out this year. I'll begin by describing the film. Okay, some movies are based on truth, but this one is based on an actual lie. Crazy Rich Asians breakout star Awkwafina plays a 20-something New Yorker named Billy, who returns to her birth country of China to attend her cousin's wedding. She soon discovers the wedding slash impromptu family reunion is all a ruse. It's all part of an elaborate lie that directly involves Billy's beloved grandmother, who just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Nai Nai, she is called, which is Chinese for grandmother, does not know this. Her family has decided not to tell her. This, of course, puts Billy in an extremely awkward position. Does she tell her grandmother the truth, or does she abide by her family's wishes and keep the lie going? Let me start with Raymond. You saw this movie in theaters, didn't you not?
Yes.
Did you recently rewatch it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so tell me a little, did you mean
my initial thoughts when I saw it in theaters?
Yeah.
I really loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I actually really related to it in a way, because it's really a movie about, you know, growing up in America, you know, children of immigrants.
Yeah.
And I really related to that aspect of the movie. And there's specific scenes that I think also people that immigrated here could also relate to. And I don't know, I think it's in many ways like one of the most American movies I've seen in a while.
Which is interesting, because most of the film is in
Mandarin.
In Mandarin. Yeah. And I agree with you that it is an American immigrant story here. And you, when you rewatched it, did you hold up?
I actually liked it more on second viewing.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Let me go with Rich. What's your initial thoughts on this film? I think we saw this the first time
digitally,
recently.
Yeah. It was a sweet surprise. It was really good. I like it.
Okay. Quick and simple reaction there. I will say that I didn't like this film.
Really?
I love this film, to coin a Richard phrase.
I didn't scream.
Okay. I love this film. To steal from Richard there, he once said about Little Monsters, I think it was.
Classic.
Yeah, I really love this film. This surprised me a lot, because I heard the hype about this film, and usually these films that come out in Sundance, they're overly hyped, and they don't live up to the expectations. And this one, it blew me away. It was much better. I thought that was well done, well written, well directed, well acted.
Really
good. I'll say that, you know, before we go into anything else. You want to add any more thoughts on this, Raymond?
When we get the spoilers, I guess, or are we there already?
Well, you want, okay, let's grade this real quick.
Okay.
I will say this is an A movie. I think this is one of the best films of the year. And this is an Oscar-worthy film. I hope this gets an Oscar nomination for Best Picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty much a lock. If it ends up getting nominated for Best Original Screenplay, I think it will. But hopefully it doesn't get an adapted, because adapted is a tough category.
Well, I think it might get an adapted, because writer-director Lulu Wang, this is her second film, but this is she's told the same story in This American Life episode. This American Life is an NPR radio show where basically this is based on a real experience that she had. So I'm not sure if that qualifies as an adaptation or.
I hope it doesn't, man.
But I'm
even not. if it does get adapted, I think it still has a great chance of winning. And I think it's definitely going to get nominated for Best Picture.
Okay, Rich, what do you think about this? Oh, your grade. I mean, your grade, Rich.
My grade? Yeah, I'll agree. It's an A. It's a solid A.
Yeah.
I'm borderline
A plus because that's how much I liked it. I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, but
like a, you think it's like 10 out of 10?
Almost. Almost.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, because for me it's like a 9, 9.5 out of 10. But in many ways, I could see for a lot of people this being a 10 out of 10 movie. Like, I can't really criticize it in any way. I just kind of need to see how it stands the test of time, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. What would you rate this, Raymond?
Yeah, I think I'm for now I'm going 9.5 out of 10. But I mean, I want to see how it stands the test of time.
Okay, so we definitely recommend this. Go check it out. Go rent it. Go buy the Blu-ray. You know, it's an A24 film, so I don't know if it's going to be available on streaming anytime soon, but seek it out. And this is definitely an Oscar-worthy film and highly recommend. Okay, from here on out, we'll do the spoilers. We'll just talk about different scenes or whatever. Rich, let's start with you.
Well, I was really expecting like a crazy rich Asians, but a crazy blue collar Asians, but
yeah, like a lower, like in that crazy rich,
yeah,
crazy maybe
because the premise medium. The premise was going to a wedding overseas, right? Basically.
Yeah,
and I was really expecting like that, but this was much more heartfelt than that. I mean, it really surprised me, and same with the performance of Awkwafina. She really knocked it out.
Very surprising.
Awkwafina is a revelation.
Yeah,
she deserved an Oscar nomination. I would not be disappointed if she won an Oscar trophy for this performance. She is fantastic. Oh, man,
it's going to be a stacked year, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough year. So, but
what's Meryl got?
I don't know. She's the informant or whatever it's called. She blew me away. And yeah, it's not, there's no one scene that kind of I could point to. It's just overall, her performance is so honest. It's so grounded, and it's shocking because you wouldn't think that she could deliver that. You know, she's the crazy rich Asian, you know.
And also in the beginning of the movie, when it starts off in New York, she's also kind of still like playing that character that we all know from her movies and TV shows.
Right.
But then, like, once she gets the news, there's we see her, the dramatic side of her come out, and we see a side of her that we had never seen before.
Yeah, it's almost up to, I mean, I could compare this to like a Robin Williams, you know, someone who could do comedy.
Oh, interesting.
But also really do grounded character study stuff. Awkwafina is that good. I mean, I hope it's not a fluke, because I would like to see her do more drama stuff.
We'll see Jumanji 2.
Well, that's that's going to be a comedy, you know, but I would love to see her more dramatic stuff.
Also, Nai Nai, she was great. I mean, the grandmother.
Yeah, I think she's a Chinese actress. This is possibly her first American movie. I forgot. I don't know what's her.
Susan Zhao.
A little tidbit: her sister in the movie, who's little Nai Nai, is the real aunt of writer director.
Yeah.
So, because this is spoilers. It ends with we'll get to it later. I don't want to talk about it right now, but what I like about this movie is that it works on so many levels. It's like Raymond was saying, it's an immigrant story about the distinctions between someone who leans towards westernized ideas and someone who's a traditionalist. You know, Awkwafina's character is who grew up in America. She has these American ideas, but her family, especially her family in China, are these Chinese traditionalists, you know, strict with the culture. And there's, you know, that's one level of the movie where there's this conflict there. It's also this dark comedic family drama. But what's more compelling and what's more fascinating with all that is that the film asks this provocative question that cuts to the core of, to me, to anyone really. And it asks this question: if you had a limited time left to live on Earth, would you want to know? And that is a fundamental question about life and death. And I think that is a fascinating question to ask in the film. It really punches up the film up to a new level because it's such a fascinating idea, you know, idea to explore. Mm-hmm. It's rare for a movie like this to deal with so many thematic complexities and also be this great kind of fun, you know, family wedding dramedy. You know, it's like, so it's weird. It's like this,
it's a dark comedy.
Yeah, it's a dark comedy, and it's,
you know, with a lot of emotion, with a lot of heart.
It's really well written and well directed, which is usually one dominates the other. You know, when you're dealing with writer director, you know, Lulu Wang here, she both wrote and directed the film. Her talents as a writer and director are equally high. You know, they're great. She is a very impressive new talent who I can't wait to see what she does next.
Yeah, I really hope this one at least wins a SAG award for the entire cast.
For the whole cast. Yeah. The whole cast is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, forget Knives Out. This is the cast.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I mean, and it's what I like about it, it doesn't dumb down the act to appeal to the audience. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't talk down to the audience. It respects the audience. And then what I mean by that, you know, it explores this idea of Chinese collectivism versus American individualism. You know, the idea of the collective good versus individual privilege. And in China, the structure is that the family deals with the medical situation. And in America, it deals with just, you know, a person will deal with her own medical situation. So I love the how they kind of explore that idea and doesn't really judge it. It lets the audience judge. And I think at the end of watching this movie, you have an idea. What would you want to know? Would you want your family to not tell you? Or, you know, I love that. I hope that just adds to the drama of this film.
Yeah, definitely.
And you, Rich? What some of the things you liked about the film?
Yeah, the different culture. I mean, exactly, like the health and the and I really like the brothers, the two brothers,
Uncles.
Yeah, the uncles. Yeah, yeah. How they
and they have their own perspective on the idea of what should they do, and then yeah, like what Raymond was saying, I relate to that. Our uncles,
that could
be something. You know, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to have an idea of what Chinese culture is if you're from an immigrant family like us three. We're from an immigrant family, Latino family. You could definitely relate to the bickering between two brothers who lived in different parts of the world.
But also the scene and the wedding towards the end of the movie when the uncle he gets on stage to give a speech for the couple or whatever.
Right.
But it ends up being an excuse really for him to
break out.
Like apologize for never being there and for abandoning his family to give a better life for his family in America. But
well, he feels
all this guilt because he's abandoned his mother.
Oh, you mean the father, Aquafina's father?
Right. He left in New York.
No,
the uncle lives
the one in Japan.
The uncle lives in Japan.
Yeah, because he's giving the speech during the wedding.
Yeah,
the end of the movie, he breaks down.
Breaks down.
You know, that's a great scene. That's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
It's great because it's funny and it's also very touching. You know,
and very real. Like, very real. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure like our parents felt the same way about that.
You know, I think that's something that every immigrant who leaves their home to either America
start a new life
either in America or a different country. I think that's something that you have to grapple with. And the idea of, did I leave my mom, you know, in this case, their mother, you know, the regret or, you know, those ideas or those feelings, those awkward feelings of, especially when you come back home and have to deal with, and especially when you have to deal with a medical crisis like this. That's what's so good about this movie. It deals with some big, big kind of emotional issues. And it doesn't hit you over the head with it. It just kind of sits there and let people kind of react to it, you know, in an emotional
level. The comedic tone, I think, also adds to that.
Yeah, I think so too. It's not like overly comedic, but it has, you know.
No, it's very dark also.
Yeah. But it's funny. It's funny. There's some light moments in there. Rich, anything you want to talk about? Some of the scenes you want to talk about?
Spoiler wise?
Yeah, we're in spoilers.
Okay. I was really surprised to see your footage at the end, the real life 99.
Oh, right.
To see her 5 years later. I mean, I think that's what it was.
Well, this is a great story because Lulu Wang, who previously did a movie, but it was a kind of like a conventional rom-com. But she, after doing that film, she kind of struggled for her second film. And this is a real experience in her life. And she wanted to make this in the movie. But every time she tried to pitch this idea to producers or the studio or whatever, they always come back saying, well, can you make this to like my big fat Greek wedding?
So they wanted Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was done before Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay.
But they wanted to do like this comedy. They wanted like kind of do the crazy comedy and stuff like that. You know, she had a hard time. She didn't want to give up. She wanted to keep it grounded.
Mm-hmm.
She had the opportunity to, I forget how, but she had the opportunity to present this in This American Life, which is an NPR radio podcast. And you know, so I think it's a weekly show, or whatever. I'm not sure. But every episode deals with a different story. It was a personal story from told by the person, kind of documentary style, but on radio and on podcast. She did the episode. She produced it. She told the story in her own words. She interviewed her father and mother for the documentary. I listened to it. It's only about like 30 minutes. Really interesting. It's, you could see some of the nuggets that ended up being the movie. But basically, it was just about the lie.
So is she, was her point of view through Awkwafina's eyes, basically? Or?
Well, no, it was just her. The podcast or the episode was just her describing what the family did and what happened when the grandmother got diagnosed with terminal cancer. She basically said that because of the culture in China, they decided to, you know, not tell her. And like in the movie, explained that they made this kind of wedding to act as a reunion for them to say goodbye to their grandmother.
Now, was it a mock wedding? I mean, did they actually get married?
In the movie, they got married. I guess that whole banquet thing,
mm-hmm.
according to her, that's how Chinese weddings are.
Okay.
That's not, because China's like Buddhist, whatever. They're not based on Catholic, so it's not going to the church and then going to a reception afterwards. It's like that banquet. That's the Chinese style of a wedding. And in real life, the person already got married, and they decided to
have a ceremony.
Just decided to have the banquet again. You know, okay. You know, for the family at home. So after that episode aired on This American Life, she got contacted by a couple of people who wanted to do the movie or like wanted to help her produce the film.
Mm.
And one of them was Chris Reitz, who did American Pie films.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Weiss brothers.
Did he do the About a Boy? Or is that the other one?
They both did it, right? He's the one who did Rogue One.
Okay.
So he emailed her and said, you know, I'm Chris Weiss. I'm a filmmaker and I want to help you out. And I don't know if he ended up being a producer in the film, but...
Yeah, he did.
He is.
Oh, he is? Okay. So he introduced him to, or at least he helped them. They eventually got Big Beach, which is a production... A production company, and they really helped her out to kind of keep, you know, try to be faithful for her story. You know, she didn't want to do the Chinese version, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know, which everybody wanted, you know. So with that connection, she was able to keep it faithful and was able to do this film, like how it ended up being. But it was interesting that, you know, from the interviews I heard her say, she said something about at one point she was thinking about, you know, because her pitches was getting rejected. She said, maybe I should try to do, and because the whole idea was she wanted to be in Mandarin and have subtitles. And that was a big, you know.
That's a dance with wolves, no.
Yeah, that's like, you know. So because she wanted to do it in Mandarin, or at least most of the movie in Mandarin, you know, the studios didn't particularly like that idea. And so she at one point thought maybe she could like get Chinese producers and be like, just make it a Chinese film. And what was interesting that I found that she said was that the Chinese producer says, if you want to make this into a Chinese movie, you would have to ditch her character.
Awkwafina's
character. Because the character was too American.
Oh, okay.
So you would have to have the main character, a Chinese character, who totally believes in the idea of lying to the grandmother. I mean, you could have the American character or her character in the back, like in the background, who kind of like adds comedic, you know, tension to the story. But it has to be like pro-Chinese, pro-like, yes, we lie to our grandmother and stuff like that. And she said, no, that defeats the purpose. The movie is about me, you know, having conflict with this idea of, you know, doing this to her grandmother. So,
that's why this movie's so American, really.
That's why, I know. That's why it's so, such a great American story.
I don't think this movie, like, would do well overseas, in China, basically.
I don't think they
would respond well. It's only here that people respond well to it, and I hope more people see it.
Especially for the American immigrant story, where it is a, you know, you're trying to blend into the American culture, but but your family is from a different culture, and you know, that conflict is a real thing, and it's that's why I kind of love this movie, because it's rare to see that movie see that in a, because
I'm seeing right now, actually, this movie only made $16,000 in China, and it came in at number 32 on the only weekend it opened.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably too American for them. I mean, I think China had a problem with Crazy Rich Asians also. I don't think it did well there too. because it deals with that kind of idea of the two cultures clashing.
Where they does it in such a good way that's like not insulting to either side.
Yeah, especially in this. Yeah, in this film, definitely. Yeah. Let's go to best scene and worst scene. What is your worst scene, Rich, if you have one?
I thought the funeral scene with the father, it went a little bit too comedic.
Yeah, it went a little too broad.
Yeah.
What was interesting, and because I
didn't mind it.
I listened to a lot of interviews from Lulu Wang. She says that, and that's very common in the Chinese culture.
Oh yeah. I see that all the time.
They kind of mentioned that in the film that crying, publicly crying, is a sign of respect. Overly crying, or you know,
yeah, it's
a very culture thing. Yeah, it's a culture thing. But I see what you mean. But I kind of love the direction of that film. I mean, I love the way they staged it. And apparently that was her real grandfather's grave. Grave,
okay. No, but I think it was just a little bit over the
I mean, if you had to pick one.
Yeah.
You had to pick a worst scene.
Yeah.
Okay, Raymond, any worst scenes? Or you kind of liked the whole movie?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I can't think of one right now.
Okay.
No.
Let me think of something. Maybe the final scene, I do like it, but maybe it wasn't that, the scene where she's driving
away in the cabs?
No, when she yells out in the air, in the sky.
Oh.
The final scene.
Oh, the bird stuff. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe the bird stuff.
Maybe the bird, you know, I like that idea. Maybe the bird stuff too. Yeah, maybe the bird was too kind of symbolic.
Yeah.
But.
I didn't mind it, but yeah. I guess maybe the bird stuff.
Okay, what's the best scene in the film for you? Raymond,
I like all this. I like a lot of the scenes. I like all the interactions, I guess, with Nene. I like the interactions that she has with her father. I think those were some very emotional scenes.
And funny also.
Huh?
Funny. It's also there were funny. Yes. The funny interactions too with the father. But the Nene scenes, I love the fact that she was a ball buster. She was the matriarch of the family, and she wasn't like someone in the corner that we had to, you know, that they had to like tippy toe around. She was very proactive, and she like planned the wedding. I love the help all that stuff about that. That she was very active. Rich, what's your best scene in the film?
No, I mean I don't have any
kind of standout
things. Mm-hmm. I just liked all of Nine-Nine's scenes, the telephone interaction between her and Awkwafina, and I liked the sisters in the hospital waiting room and how they bickered at each other and stuff like that. So
nothing stands out.
Maybe the old man that lives with Nine-Nine.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I love that. Like she has like kind of this male suitor who, makes that cares for her. Yeah, yeah, and she kind of treats him like crap. And
makes her feel young.
Yeah, it makes her feel young. I'd say my best scene, and I have two. I think. Well, the best scene for me, the best scene for me was. Awkwafina kind of doing the exercise with her grandmother,
mm-hmm.
doing the mm-hmm. I thought that was such a charming scene, and it really kind of portrays it really kind of well, kind of much dialogue. It just says that this is their relationship. She loves her grandmother, and she's like, and when they're doing that exercise, it's just a sweet kind of innocent thing. It's so charming. I love that scene where she's. You know what I'm talking about? Where she kind of does the fake kind of...
Right.
They're trying to, like, work on their...
The roadhouse, yeah.
Yeah. But I think I want to also point out the kind of that slow motion scene where the whole group is walking down the street. That's in the trailers.
Was that right before the wedding or after the wedding?
I think it was right after the wedding. And the slow motion scene where they just... It's kind of like a...
The power scene.
Yeah, it's like a fight... You know, it's like a... Like a desperado walking away from the explosions, you know? No, but it's like slow motion. They're walking down the street.
I go, Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs scenes. And I go, man, that is such a directory, you know, that's a director. There was a possibility that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a risk, but it works. And it's a great stylistic shot. And it makes you feel, at least for me, it made me feel like, wow, these guys are like walking ghosts. You know, or like they're together, but they're not talking together. And they're all, you know, it just felt right. I don't know. It was very, I loved it. That's what made me respect the director because she went for it and it paid off. I thought I really appreciate that scene. I really appreciate that shot. I thought that it worked well.
Then you know what? I got one. I like when they play the drinking game at the wedding.
Oh yeah.
I like how that's shot also, and how the cousin that's getting married kept getting drunker and drunker. And as the more drunk he would get, you know, the more depressed and how all his emotions would start to come out.
Yeah.
Basically ruins everything.
That's what's so cool.
That's a great scene.
That's what's so cool about the movie. It has these light kind of comedic moments, but also these dark undertones. This is great.
Filled with emotion, are very dark. It's a great balancing act.
Yeah, man, this is great. This is a great film. This is a great American film. Like I said about Peanut Butter Falcon. Yeah. This is another great American film. And I don't care that it's, you know, most of the movies Mandarin. In Mandarin. Yeah. It is a great American film.
It makes it more authentic. Yeah. So it just adds. This is a movie I could see being put out on Criterion, being released by Criterion eventually.
Sure. I think it's going to become a more, look, it's a hit. It is a hit, right?
I would think.
But it
made like $20 million.
Yeah, so I think it's going to definitely build more of an audience as the years, you know.
If it gets those Oscar nominations, it definitely will.
Yeah, definitely. So I hope people will go watch it, and I highly recommend watching this. This is a.
I hope A24 supports it. Is it A24?
Yeah, it's A24.
Yeah, but they support it.
I hope so. You know, I should mention that Lulu Wang is in a relationship with Moonlight Barry Jenkins.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's the reason why I think the Netflix wanted to buy this film, and she had a deal with
A24.
Yeah. She had a deal with A24. I think Netflix. Even offered a higher.
They would have buried it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been like I don't know. There's some pros and cons, but I think because of
I don't think we would have ever found out about this movie if it was released through Netflix.
Oh, it depends. They might have released it in. They could have released it.
Mismarketed it or something.
No, they could have released it in the.
No, but I mean, do you think they would have marketed it more like a romantic comedy or something?
No, I think
not a romantic comedy, but like a Crazy Rich Asians or something like that.
No, I think they would have released it just like a Marriage Story, because Marriage Story is getting a lot of hype also, and that's a Netflix original. And also Irishman. I think it would have been fit in this kind of cycle. But I mean, I don't blame her for going to A24, because A24 definitely supported Moonlight, and that won the Oscar. So maybe they got another Oscar hopeful here. So definitely recommend. Go seek it out. Go watch it. Go buy the Blu-ray. We'll be back with another episode, with another movie to review. Thank you for listening to Inside Flicks. Again, if you want to listen to more reviews from us, go surf on over to insideflicks.com. It has all the reviews we have there, all listed there. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.